Well, you probably remember this quintet. We were together for many years ago. Anyway, for 13 years we sang together, and what a privilege that was to sing our Savior's praise. And we've built some wonderful friendships, we've had some good times, we've also had some struggles, like anybody does. And anyway, the song we want to sing for you this morning is Loving God, Loving Each Other. Sometimes we forget how easy it is. The command God gives us is to simply love one another.
We had a great gathering over in Michigan. We're going to talk about some of the themes of that gathering next week, but I did want to share one story. So once we arrived, and I think it was even at our first meal, we started to hear about a place that we should visit. The place is called Captain Sunday. Everybody was talking about Captain Sunday. You got to check out Captain Sunday. And when you go there, you need to order a Tommy Turtle. So Turtle Sunday. I guess over in that area in Holland, Michigan, this is one of those staples that you need to go and check out. You know, we were in meetings from 8 a.m. until 9 p.m. every day for this. But I thought, you know what, maybe we could, you know, get away and go try out one of these Sundays at Captain Sunday. So I looked at the hours for this place, Captain Sunday, and I was surprised to learn that it is open until 11 p.m. every night of the week. Saturday through Sunday, all week through the summer, 11 p.m. I thought that sounded a little bit strange, because if you're out in Waupun at 11 p.m., I'm getting old, so it's not me anymore. But if you're out in Waupun at 11 p.m., there's not a lot going on. But in Holland, Michigan, Captain Sunday is just closing. Anyway, our meetings wrapped up at 9 p.m., and we ended up heading to Captain Sunday. We got there around 10 or so, probably the latest that I've had ice cream for a very long time, especially going out for ice cream. This was strange. The place was absolutely packed. 10 p.m. on a Thursday night, there's lines shooting out all over the place. So we get in one, and I asked this lady, what is going on? Is it like this all the time? And she said, yes. It's absolutely like this every night. And I said, well, why? And she said, you know what? The Lake Michigan's just right over there, and people they'll go to the beach, they'll watch the sunset, and then they'll end up at Captain Sunday. So it explains it, why there's little kids getting ice cream 10 o'clock at night on a Thursday. They were good. John said that it was some of the thickest caramel that he has ever had, and he was actually afraid of breaking his spoon. It was so thick. So we had a wonderful evening. Our gathering wrapped up. We went and had Sundays. And then because we were leaving the next day, we needed to stop and get some gas. And my low tire pressure light was on also. So I fill up with gas. I get out my little air pump, and I start checking all the tires. Three of them I had no trouble with. Got the cap off, got them filled up, but there was one that was being a problem. It was different because it had a metal cap on it instead of a rubber one, and it just would not come off. And I was dead set in my mind that I was gonna get some air in that tire whether it liked it or not. So I went in and got a wrench out of my center console, and I put that wrench on that, and I started to see if I could get it to move, and it wouldn't go. At that point, I should have just let it be. Right? You reach those moments, you should just let it be. It's by this time 11 o'clock at night. We're in Holland, Michigan, and for some reason, after ice cream, they go out to street race. I don't know. Because there's people street racing. And so I grab that wrench one more time, and I start the twist. And guess what? I bust off the whole valve stem. And all of a sudden, it's game over. Absolutely game over. There's no fix in this. So we were quite fortunate. The spare was there. I'd never used it before. But the spare was there. The jack was there. And the tire iron was there. And we were able to get it changed. We were able to get back to the hotel. And thankfully, we were saved the next morning. I dropped that tire off at a tire shop, and they had it done within an hour. And I could go pick it up and get things switched back up so we could get back on the road by noon and make it home on Friday with a decent amount of time. So we were saved. A bad situation could have turned into a really bad weekend. But like I said, we were saved. We were rescued. That tire shop had it done for us. What about you? Where are you at today? How are things going? Do you stand in need of rescue, of protection, of saving? Maybe you've tried it on your own, but maybe what you've been doing has made it worse. Or maybe what you've been doing has only been getting you so far. Do you need help from ever-present danger, from fear, and from trouble? Well, today, because I had a busy week, I needed to shift gears. We're going to go to a different section of Scripture today. We are in a series in Jude, but we are going to, for this week, we're going to take a detour and go to Psalm 91, and John volunteered to come up and read this scripture for us. Psalm 91, this is one of my absolute favorite psalms, and it's all about rescue and protection and saving. And, you know, I love the language in it. I love the imagery. It's Sue talked about it, just how glorious and big our God is. So, I'm going to invite John over here to lead us in Psalm 91. He's taller than me, so I better put it up here. Here we go.
Been a mechanic for 55 years, and I could see him, and I watched him, and just as I was going to say, stop, it went, kadoom. Too late. And then he's trying to screw it back on, trying to screw the valve back in there, and he ain't going to work, buddy. And it didn't. So, lesson learned. So, yeah, we had a great time at this gathering. So, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
All right, thank you, John. Let us join together now in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the reading of your holy word. We thank you that along with the rest of the Bible that it continues to strike us deep in the heart so that we put our trust in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A long, long time ago, and this is highlighted in the Old Testament, there was a prophet of God. His name was Isaiah. Isaiah, he had a vision one day in the temple of the Lord. So get that picture in your mind. Isaiah, he's in the temple of the Lord, and in the temple of the Lord, he gets a glimpse of God and heaven. He gets a glimpse of God in heaven. He saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and his vision was so glorious and so awesome that all he could really see at first was just the edge of God's robe. And God was so glorious and so big that that edge of God's robe completely filled the temple. So imagine for a moment that here in this house of worship, imagine that you have a vision of God Almighty, and he is seated on his throne, high and lofty, and all that you can really see is just the edge of his robe. And it is absolutely filling this place, just the edge of his robe. And you're thinking to yourself, what glory and what splendor is our great God? I'm sure that would run through your mind. And perhaps you're thinking to yourself, you know, talk about dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, being there and seeing just the edge of his robe. And think about where he's standing right there, that you know, you're just abiding in the shadow of the Lord. What a vision. I love the imagery. It's beautiful. It's awesome. And it makes me think, you know, I want to dwell. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. And I want to abide in his shadow. That's the place that I want to be every second of every day, abiding in the Lord Almighty. And Isaiah, what's his response? He has this vision. What's his response? And I want this to be my response too. Isaiah humbles himself in God's presence. Isaiah recognizes that he has been corrupted by sin. Not only the sins that he had committed himself, but also the sin that was brought forward through all of humanity by Adam and Eve. And he humbles himself before this glorious and holy God, and he says, with repentance in his heart, he says, "Woe to me! Woe to me! I am ruined! I can't stand in the presence of this glorious and holy and perfect God. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to live in the face of this God. I don't deserve to be here. So woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah recognizes that he is not worthy of being in God's presence, but there he stands. So what does he do? He repents. Woe is me. And then, right after that, understanding that God is a gracious God, a saving God, a rescuing God, he declares, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That's the kind of thing that's happening in his heart. What we're reading here in Psalm 91, this is the picture of what it means to be with God, understanding who you are compared to a holy God, and then in your heart declaring, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Lord, you're letting me stand in your presence. Lord, you know, for Isaiah, he's getting this incredible vision of heaven. He is trusting that the Lord will deliver him from the snares of Satan, from the corruption of sin that plagues him, and that terrible pestilence that keeps him from God. God's plan is to rescue him from all of those things. And we can apply this to our lives too. You know, I want to be in his presence, and I hope you do too. And I want to be in his shelter, and I hope you do too. And I want to be under his shadow, and I hope you do too. This is what Isaiah is seeing. And he's looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promises. We know that to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Our rescuer. Our strong tower. He is the one and the only that fulfills all of these promises that Psalm 91 speaks about. When Psalm 91 invites us to consider who God is, his character and his nature, a God who provides with great security while we deal with trouble of all kinds. Some of that trouble is the things that we do, but other trouble is things that have been done to us. It's living in to those promises. Psalm 91 declares, he will cover you with his wings. He will protect you with his shield. You will deal with the terror of the night. Somebody tries to tell you that once you become a Christian, you're never going to have any trouble. They don't know Christianity. They don't know this walk with the Lord. You will deal with the terror of the night, and you will deal with the destruction at noonday. You will have to deal with these things. It might be falling apart all around you, but when you are under the Lord's shadow in Jesus, you will not finally and completely be overtaken. You will not be overtaken in life or in death. In life or in death. When you find refuge in God, evil will not ultimately prevail. Your sins will not catch up with you when you make the Lord your dwelling place. Like Isaiah, standing before God in prayer, declare your need for help. Cry out to the Lord, woe is me, I am ruined. I need your rescue. I need your saving. I need your help. And as reported in the book of Acts, this is the fulfillment of Psalm 91 and every other psalm that there is, and everything in the Old Testament, the fulfillment is Jesus. In Acts, we hear this: believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's what this is pointing ahead to. Believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. For Jesus, this is the fulfillment, Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, taking the wrath of God for our sins upon himself on the cross, securing for us eternal life. Securing eternal life for everyone who abides in the shadow of the Almighty. This is incredible. Good news for us. This is why I invite you to abide in the shadow of the Almighty, to see God that way, as the psalmist does here in Psalm 91. And what awesome promises come with this. So, of course, eternal salvation. But we're also talking here in Psalm 91 about angelic protection. For all of those who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, angelic protection. So you have this picture of Isaiah. And, Isaiah sees the Lord high and exalted on his throne, and the edge of his robe is filling the temple. But also, the mighty angels of God are going from the throne room of God down to Isaiah. Those angels are doing God's bidding here on earth on behalf of all of those who abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So picture this. Right now, there are angels that are coming down from the throne room of God to do God's bidding and to help provide that protection and safety for everyone who abides in the shadow of the Almighty. That is an awesome benefit of abiding in the shadow of the Lord. And we're also here reminded that Satan's attacks on us will not ultimately defeat us. Satan's attacks will not ultimately defeat us. Satan is like an evil, roaring lion and a deadly cobra. He will not prevail. Ultimately, he will not prevail against all of those who abide in God. I invite you today to follow the design that is put together in the book of Acts. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. I would invite you to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. I would invite you to put all of your faith in God and abide in Him. He will deliver us, and He will protect us. And He will satisfy us with His salvation. When we call Him, He will answer. And I love Isaiah's response when God asks him a question. Do you want to hear the question? Okay, so we've got Isaiah here. He is a repenting, faithful, believing prophet of God. And God says to him, "Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Who is going to go out and tell people about the word of the Lord?" Isaiah, his response is, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." For those of you that are abiding in the shadow of the Lord, who have cried out to Him, "Woe is me," who have put your faith in Him day in and day out, will you go out and tell people the good news? Will you let them know about our powerful and mighty and awesome God and tell them about the incredible saving work of His Son Jesus? Let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, we thank You for Your wonderful and awesome word, and we thank You for highlighting who You are and Your promises in Psalm 91. Lord, continue to capture our hearts and show us your salvation, so that we, like Isaiah, can go and spread the word of the Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.